Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Jim Fouts, founder and director of Tanganyika Wildlife Park. Welcome to Issues 2019, Jim. Thanks for having being with us this morning.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
That's kind of a tongue twister for me, Tanganyika, but it's an interesting name.
It's an extremely scary word. People seldom want to say it.
Yeah, it's even harder to spell, but you've done quite a good job out there. I want you to tell us, if you will, how you became interested in animals and zoos and wildlife parks. Where'd that come from?
From a very early age, I started dragging things home, much to my mother's chagrin. You know, she'd do the laundry and find a snake in my pocket.
Really?
So it kind of grew out of that. I was collecting turtles when I was 5, and all I ever wanted to do was work in a zoo.
Well, that's starting early, knowing what you want to do. I mean, where are you from then?
I'm originally from Wichita.
Okay.
I was born in Norton, lived in El Dorado for a while. After that, we were in Colorado and California for a few years, but came back to Kansas.
So you weren't doing wildlife parks then, were you, or were you?
Yes, I was. I was actually one of the original keepers at Sedgwick County Zoo in the early 70s.
Okay.
Left there in 77, went out on my own collecting birds and monkeys in South America, and started working in Africa in January of 81.
Wow. I know you've worked a lot with birds. Tell me about that.
That's really what I started with, was birds. I started collecting
birds.
Okay. I'm a bird guy, yeah. I enjoy birds a lot, and that's really what drove me into working in South America and started bringing birds in for zoos back at that time.
You know, I read a book a while back. I'm going to sidetrack here a little bit of Teddy Roosevelt. After he had been president, he went down there in the Amazon on a trip that darn near killed him. Did you get any place like that down there in the jungles?
I actually did. I went through a revolution in Bolivia in the late 70s and came down with an illness that nearly killed me. Only time in all my travels I've been sick, but I wanted to be dead on that trip. You know, it was not good.
Well, that's what they said about Roosevelt. He just darn near died. He got so sick.
It kind of sneaks up on you.
Okay. What is it about birds that you like? I mean, obviously, there's some of them, many of them are just beautiful colors, but what else do you like about them?
I think that's it. There's such a diverse number of species out there. Some stuff that you look at and just can't believe that nature created something as magnificent as this. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you know, when I started in the business, it wasn't practical to drag a rhinoceros home. It was easier to do birds.
So. Yeah. So how and when did Tanganyika Wildlife Park come about, Jim?
Actually, we have had animals on that site since 1985, and we decided 2006 that it might be a good thing to open this up and share it with the community, one, to help finance our breeding and conservation programs that we do. And we thought it might be something nice to share with the community.
So how have you located and purchased the animals? Obviously, you started out with a group of animals.
Yeah, we have. I've always supplied zoos. After I left Sedgwick County, I went out on my own, started supplying zoos, and so I also have specialized in years transporting animals between zoos and doing transactions for zoos, so animals were readily accessible, and we had a large collection there in Goddard, so we started adding stuff, but we had a good base to start from.
You know, and I've seen these films about John Wayne trying to capture rhinoceroses and Clark Gable with gorillas and whatnot. Did you ever have any close calls with any of these animals?
I have had, you know, and you mentioned John Wayne, that movie Hatari,
yeah,
was, you know, was, I think I watched it 5,000 times probably when I was younger.
Motivator.
Actually, I've stayed at the place there. They bought that hotel where that was filmed, and I've worked in that area extensively.
All right. Does this park operate under any special rules or laws concerning care and treatment of the animals?
Yes, we do. One thing you can count on in the world today, right, is government oversight. So we're licensed by USDA. We're licensed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We're accredited by the Zoological Association of America and American Humane, which is the oldest humane organization in the country.
Now, does that require a little paperwork on your part?
You could say that. Lots of paperwork, and every few years we get to do it over again.
Right. Is it difficult to get the right food for animals in this? You're pretty much an expert on that, though, aren't you?
Sometimes it's a bit of a challenge. We have, for instance, we have a lot of cats, 70 or 80 cats, and we buy 10,000 pounds of guinea pigs at a time, you know. A lot of specialty diets, you know, we feed a lot of quail and crickets and mealworms and things that you can't exactly go to Walmart and Kroger and find them on the show.
When you say cats, are you talking about the cats I have in my neighborhood, feral cats? You're talking about the bigger cats?
No, we actually have the world's largest group of snow leopards and clouded leopards. We also have a merleopards, tigers. We have a large group of cheetahs, as well as smaller cats.
Well, you have a lot of cats out there. How many visitors do you entertain in a year's time, Jim?
About 150,000. We do about 23,000 to 25,000 school kids a year. The rest is general admission and events.
And where do they come from? You talk about school kids, but geographically, the other
actually,
visitors.
we pull them in from all over the state, all from actually the western part of the state. We get quite a few groups from Oklahoma, some from as far away as Kansas City.
This may be too far inside, but marketing-wise, how do you get the word down to them? Or is it just something that takes care of itself by word of mouth, or do you?
We just keep running ads on KNSS.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But
seriously, you've done some pretty good marketing if you've got that kind of response.
We've had some good success, as with everything. You know, when you've been open for a while and you think everybody knows about you, and you constantly run into people that you think might live in a bubble and pay no attention to television or radio.
Uh-huh. How many employees at the park?
During our peak season, we have about 100.
And where do you get these folks? Are these any of them interns? Any people trying to learn about
them? Yes, we do have a volunteer program. We have an intern program that we in the animal department. Our keepers come from animal care professionals, come from all over the country, wherever we can find folks.
Have you had a pretty stable staff over the years?
At some levels, yes. At others, no. Keepers tend to be a little bit nomadic. When you're young, you know, you want to experience different facilities.
What makes a visit to your park different from other parks and zoos?
I think we're probably, certainly in Kansas, we're the most interactive zoo in Kansas, one of the most in the country. You have an opportunity where you can feed giraffes. We have a pygmy hippo feeding. We have a rhino encounter. You can have an encounter with an okapi. You can feed lorries, experience lemurs, just to name a few.
Is it the lemur you can't pet?
Yeah,
it seems
not,
like when I was there, there was one. It's a nice lemur.
Yeah, you know, we changed the way we were doing that, and so the lemurs can touch you, but you're not supposed to touch them.
All right, well that works. Let's talk about the animals for a little bit. Do you have a favorite among the, is there a favorite among the visitors who come to the zoo, the one or two they talk the most about?
You know, I think Lemur Island is probably one of the ones people enjoy the most. But, you know, interestingly enough, if you ask the small children what they like, their favorite is always the tortoises or the bunnies.
Is that right?
Well, yeah.
Tortoises. How many would it be, tortoises or tortoise? How many tortoises? How many you got?
Oh, we have probably 30 or 40.
Well, and they live a long time, don't they?
They do. Aldabra tortoises, or Galapagos tortoises, live quite a long time. I think the record's like 176 years.
Zoos that you've been to, what are the most impressive? San Diego?
San Diego's terrific. Yeah. Cincinnati is great. Nashville's nice.
One I went to with my youngster when he was, this has been many years ago, I thought was pretty because of the way where it is, the one in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Up on the side of a mountain.
It's quite unique the way it's built up there. In past years, I've moved giraffe in and out of there, and it's quite a challenge to get in and out of there with a truck.
Okay, yeah. You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Entercom radio stations. Our guest is Jim Fouts, founder and director of Tanganyika Wildlife Park. You have a family affair, though. You have another Fouts or two out there, don't you?
I do. I'm very fortunate to have the family involved up until a couple of years ago. My wife, Sherry, was running the nursery, which is busy all the time. My son Matt quit a good job to come work at the park, so he basically handles all of the day-to-day operations and HR, advertising, yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we've seen Matt. I've got to know him the first time I think we've met. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the animals if we can. What is a bongo?
Bongo, it's not a drum.
It's not a drum, not like beatniks playing a bongo drum.
It's a beautiful antelope that you find in Central Africa from Kenya all the way through the middle of Africa. It's kind of a red color with stripes. Very beautiful animal.
Is it a mammal? What?
Yeah, it's a mammal. It's one of the rare antelopes that...
it's an antelope, okay. And I first saw, I think it's an okapi. I first saw one of those at the Colorado Springs Zoo. How many of those do you have?
We have two and a third coming in shortly. And that's kind of the Cadillac of the antelope giraffe family, of course, closely related to giraffe.
Yeah, I just thought of a question here about the animals and their care. A veterinarian on staff, or just do you have one who comes in?
We have a vet on contract, or a practice on contract, that has three vets that come in on a regular basis.
I was going to say, how often do the Red River Hogs get a checkup? Once a year?
We see them quite often. Vets are always out two or three times a week.
Red River Hogs. What are Red River Hogs?
It's kind of like it says. It's a beautiful red hog that has some tassels on its ears. It's quite attractive to look at. Comes from Central Africa. You frequently find them in the meadows with bongos that we were just talking about.
Yeah. What are mandrels?
Mandrels. That's
mandrels?
That's not the mandrel sisters?
No, not the singers. No,
okay,
huh?
Not the singers. it's one of the largest of the baboons. They've got the very colorful face.
Red and yellow and
purple and chartreuse, and they look like they've come out of a paint shop somewhere.
If I look at a baboon or one of those larger, probably this one too, I look at that as a pretty possibly dangerous animal. Are mandrels, do they have a pretty good temper to them, or are they fairly gentle?
You know, the interesting part about them is everybody is very cautious around them because they are so large, and their canines are actually as larger than lions or tigers. They can open their mouth, and when they want to be threatening, they'll open that mouth and just say, "Hey, look at these teeth. You see these? Don't make me use them." And so they're very actually laid back and easy going, and I think it's because they know, you know, that they can do something about it if they have to.
Well, yeah, and most animals are pretty more afraid of us than we are of them.
Very definitely. You know, and to tell you just a little story about mandrels, years ago when the Shrine Circus was in town, they had a mandrel act where there were mandrels doing things in the ring.
Really?
And the lady that had the mandrels rode around the circus in her golf cart with a mandrel wearing a yellow T-shirt that said security on it.
And he bared his teeth and everybody ran for it.
All he had to do was open his mouth. Everybody scatters. Yeah. Fortunately, those kind of things don't happen anymore. But
tell me about pygmy hippos. How many have you got?
We have three. We had our second baby this year, about the size of a shoebox, weighed about 10 pounds.
Wow, how big do they get then? They're pygmies, so they're not as big as a real pygmy.
No, they get 600, 700 pounds generally compared to, you know, as much as 5,000 for a river hippo.
A 5,000 pound?
Yes.
Wow. Do you have any big hippos?
We don't.
But I've heard that that's an animal that's probably more dangerous than many others.
It is.
A big hippo.
Very much so. It's probably kills more people in Africa than any other animal, with the exception of maybe crocodiles.
Oh, wow. Wow. All right, so you've got three of these pygmy hippos. What happens to them? Do you keep all three, or do you send them to another zoo? Or
generally, we're set up mostly to carry a pair and one offspring. So when they obtain a certain age, then we'll send them to another facility.
Okay, tell me about honey badgers.
Honey badgers don't care.
They don't care what about anything?
Pretty much. probably the most ferocious little beast you'll ever see. I've seen them in Africa actually back lions down. They're scared of absolutely nothing.
So does the public get real up close to those, or we kind of keep them at distance?
Well, we have one there right now. His name is Diablo that we hand-raised. His mother rejected him, so we fed him. And he was quite a celebrity for a while, and we did the Letterman Show and Good Morning America and a number of other shows with Diablo. So
what's his diet? Is that a carnivore, or did they eat meat?
They're kind of an omnivore. They eat a lot of meat, eat just about anything. And he learned how to open the refrigerator and became quite a challenge there for a while.
So they're smart then, too.
Very clever.
Wow, wow. Well, I think probably everybody likes otters, don't they?
They do. Everybody otter-like otters.
How many have you got?
We have a pair. We got a brand new male that came in from the zoo in Singapore. And we have five brand new babies.
Wow. Is that too many? You need to get ready?
She's actually feeding them. So
okay.
They're doing well.
And they primarily live in a pretty good water situation for them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to have water.
So that's one of the parts, probably the facility-wise, one of your challenges. Keep water in there. I was going to talk a little bit about the landscaping of the park, because as I recall, we've got some nice trees and it's a really nice looking place. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we started, you know, we were a wheat field in 2006.
Yeah.
And, of course, as we just finished our 11th year, things are really growing up, starting to look great. We have a lot of additions we're getting ready to add to the park. We're getting ready to put in a splash park for the kids to enjoy during the summer months. And we have a number of other exhibits that we're working on. We have a new children's zoo that we're going to be building here before long.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask. Exciting things do you have planned in the next few months? You've told me about one or two there.
Yeah, the splash park, the children's zoo we're working on. We're getting ready to build a new rhino enclosure. We have white rhinos coming in from South Africa, probably in the spring.
You've got a southern black rhino, though, right?
We actually have a southern black rhino coming in.
Okay.
We had southerns. We sent our male out on loan to another zoo. We have another southern coming in. We also have Indian rhinos, so we'll have three species.
Now, that animal is probably the most fierce-looking animal there is, but are they a fierce animal?
You know, it's very interesting. The blacks are kind of short-tempered, a little, the answer to everything, if you don't know what it is, charge it.
Yeah.
But Indian rhinos are kind of like big puppy dogs once you get them settled, as are white rhinos.
When I think about these animals, some of them are native to warmer climes than we have here. Is there any challenge with the climate in keeping the animals?
It's always a challenge, but all of our barns have heat, air conditioning if necessary.
When you say you loan out an animal, I imagine you do that for many of the animals, or some of the animals you have, when you loan them out to a zoo, is it for purposes of reproducing the species, something like that?
Or? Yeah, we participate in a number of managed breeding programs, so we'll move animals out to pair with other animals in other facilities for maximum genetic diversity.
And maybe I'm being too nosy, but do you get a fee for that?
Generally not.
Really?
No,
it's something you all do with each other?
It's just something we all work together and do.
Do you have any? I ask this because I have so many people on and that are in their world. They're helped with grants and loans and things like that. But Do you have any government grants or any support like that?
We don't. We have no government support. We do have a foundation, Tanganyika Wildlife Foundation, which is we're starting to work on that as a support organization for the park. We've paid our own way.
And well, it sounds like a good idea to get some people behind you there, and maybe there are some other things they can do to help you raise some money to do things. Do you get many school field trips? You talked about that earlier.
Yeah, we do. We get 23 to 25,000 kids a year.
Really? Wow. Talk about, do you have any, you haven't really talked about snakes, have you? Do you have snakes? Do you have
reptiles? We have a few, not many, mostly in our ambassador program.
So what kind of snakes do you have?
Oh, we have some pythons. We have some king snakes. I think some, a few boas.
Okay.
Rat snakes.
Do you have one of those pythons that's about 20 feet long?
Ours is only about 12.
Well, I saw one in Florida when I was a kid. It was 20 feet long and about 2 feet across.
That's
it can really get big.
Big snake.
What do you do with that snake when it gets to, or will it just stop growing at some point, or? What's
snakes,
the end game on a snake?
Snakes pretty much keep growing.
Do they?
They do.
Well, what's the diet on that one?
Rabbits, maybe?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, probably. But certainly they can eat anything, eat something much larger if they want to.
When it comes to personalities, we think that animals have personalities, and the dogs and cats we have. But is that true pretty much in the general wildlife kingdom that different animals have different personalities?
Absolutely, and not only from species to species, but individuals, you know, have different personalities just like we do.
The worldwide, the animals, we look at some of the places in South America and places like that where man is getting rid of the forest or, you know, developing and whatnot. What is the situation for animals worldwide? What do you think?
It's really critical with a lot of species. I mean, you have those people saying that we're entering what's called the sixth extinction, which species are disappearing at an alarming rate. And this is due to a number of factors. I suppose you could say climate change could be playing a factor to some degree. But overpopulation, human encroachment, is probably the biggest problem overall.
All right. So how many species do you think are disappearing? Is it yearly, or is there several?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, you read different things. I'm sure we're losing something every year, where there's probably things out there we're unaware of.
Is the park available for special events?
It is, yeah. We have three meeting rooms that are available of different sizes year-round for different kinds of events.
What kind of events would you do then?
We do a lot of weddings. We do a lot of corporate events. We have some meeting room for some business retreats. So we can pretty much do just about anything people want to do.
You're in the we're on autumn right now, but I would imagine it's probably pretty good for attendance because of the weather. But does it slow down pretty much in the winter for
you? It does. Yeah, we actually close the 10th of November until the 1st of March.
Okay, so
most of our animals were not set up for inside viewing, so we close for the winter.
So if you're listening right now, you got till November 10th to get out there and see all this.
November the 10th.
All right. Anything new that you'd like to discuss? We've talked about a couple of new things you've got going on out there. Anything other than that you want to say? All I've got you here. It's your chance.
Well, I think what I'd like to say is we very much appreciate the community support. Our season pass holders, we appreciate all that they do in supporting the park, and we certainly couldn't do it without them.
Again, I want to review real quickly then. The park itself opened in what year was it, Jim?
Our first day was in June of 2008.
2008.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd been out there with animals before that, you said?
We've had animals there since 1985.
Okay. And it was a wheat field before that?
It was, yes.
All right. And, you know, one more thing, because there are people listening, I hope, we hope from all over the state, the central part of the state of Kansas, and maybe down in Oklahoma. For those who don't know, give us an idea where the park is located. That'd be a good idea.
That's a good idea. We're just west of Wichita in Goddard. Between 183rd and 199th Street, just off of Maple.
So if you're out here and you're near Goddard, you got a pretty good signage, don't you?
We do.
Directing people to get in?
We do, yeah.
All right. Is that all you want to tell me today?
I believe so.
I've learned a lot. And I appreciate your time this morning, Jim.
Thank you, Steve.
Learned a lot about this place, the Tanganyika Wildlife Park, which I think is another great asset to our city, a great place to go, take the kids, and very educational, and a lot of it very much hands-on. Jim, thanks again for spending some time with us this morning to talk about the Tanganyika Wildlife Park. I'm going to learn to spell it one of these days. Our guest is Jim Fouts, founder and director of Tanganyika Wildlife Park. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.